right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Just because it's late doesn't mean we're done yet.
And the serves up. That's a penalty.
And the quarterback, you kidding me, coach?
There's plenty more hits to dish out.
Well, he really hit the shit out of that one, didn't he? Look at that. He hit the f***ing ball. That gets a free steak.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX. Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology.
And by BetUS, the original online sports book.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Patrick Creighton.
This is the only live and local evening sports radio show in the city of Houston. Late Hits, ESPN 97.5. Patrick Creighton with you, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN on the Charm P. Listener line, on the text line, on Twitter, X at P. Creighton1. Josh Evans on the other side of the glass at the Master Control on the X Twitter at IMJ Chevy. On the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/ESPN975, ESPN975.com, ESPN975 app. Tell Google, tell Alexa, put on ESPN975. Take us with you everywhere you go. Yeah, it's lots of fun. Makes life easier for you, doesn't it? So Jose Abreu just got caught looking on a really borderline low pitch. Probably close enough you got a swing, but really borderline pitch. Two on, two out, and Uncle Mike to the plate. Astros down 3-1 in the top of the sixth. Need to get some damn runs. Too many lookins. Those bats in action. All right, let's get our NFL picks for the week started up here. Jay Chev. Ready to
hit me.
Ready to have a little fun with this. All right. Let's hit the early games. Packers and Falcons in Atlanta. Falcons are 1.5-point favorites. I will tell you, I still don't believe in the Falcons. Do not believe in the Falcons. I know that Packers may be without Christian Watson. Don't know if Aaron Jones is going to go. If he's not, A.J. Dillon will get plenty of reps. I will tell you that I think Jordan Love is a better quarterback than Desmond Ridder. I'm not sold on the Falcons. I know a lot of people seem to be high on the Falcons. I don't know why. They stunk last year. I know they added Bijan Robinson. Okay. They have one of the best tight ends in the game. They can't get him the football. Yeah, I'm not on the Falcons. I am taking the Packers, and I am taking that 1.5.
Absolutely. I'm right with you. I think I was one of two people to pick the Packers last week at the station, and I'm rolling with them once again.
You actually had a nice week. You had 9 wins last week. 9-6. That was the second best record among everybody that I'm tracking.
First place was who? Andrew Carlson?
It was AC.
AC.
He was 10-5.
AC, I'm coming for you, boy. I'm coming for you.
AC was 10-5. You were 9-6. I was 8-7. A couple of guys were 8-7. A few guys were 7-8. A couple of guys were 6-9. A couple of guys were 5-10, like Jeremy Branham. Not taking shots there, by the way. But here we go. Raiders in Buffalo to take on the Bills. The Bills are 8-point favorites in this game. Buffalo was embarrassed last week. Josh Allen sucked. And Josh Allen came out and told you, yeah, I sucked, and I need to not suck. I have a feeling, you know, being at home, this is a get-well game for the Buffalo Bills, who should have a very motivated Josh Allen looking to go out there and show everybody, all right, 1 week I wasn't good. This week I'm back to whooping some ass. I'm going to take the Bills. Even though it's 8, 8's a lot of points. It's a lot of points. I do not trust the Raiders at all. I don't care if you beat, you know, teams that have trouble scoring. The Bills are not going to have trouble scoring. I'm going to take the Bills at home in what is a get-well game. Ravens and the Bengals. Bengals were hideous last week. It was another one of those, look, Joe Burrow wasn't ready to go last week, but he played anyway. And their offensive line was just straight up garbage. They couldn't block anything. I expect Joe Burrow will be a lot better this week. I'm not sure what to make of the Ravens. Yeah, the Ravens beat the Texans at home with a really banged up offensive line and ultimately missing half their starting secondary. It's another one of those Bengals come home, Bengals get healthier, division game. Should be a pretty hard-fought game. I'm going to take the Bengals in the three. They're home. I think Burrow's embarrassed from last week. We'll see a much better Joe Burrow this week. I really was not impressed with the Ravens offense last week. That was the Texans defense. They should have been better. Maybe they'll be better this week, but I wasn't really impressed. And it's a new offense. A lot of pieces still getting learned. You know, the two biggest plays they had in the passing game were OBJ drawing DPIs. Both of them were questionable, and one of them was highly questionable. I don't know if they're going to get that again. So I'm going to take the Bengals and lay the three. Seahawks in Detroit. Lions are 4.5-point favorites. Man, was anybody more disappointing than the Seahawks last week? Man, I'm glad Geno Smith had that 1 year, and maybe he got some money out of that, but did the clock strike 12 in Seattle? Maybe it did, but going into Detroit, that's a good young Lions team. Jared Goff seems to be very comfortable in this offense. Josh Reynolds had a big week. David Montgomery ran for 74 yards and a touchdown, and he plays for the Lions, and he didn't die. Maybe the football gods are changing how they treat Lions running backs. I'm going to take the Lions and lay the 4.5. Chargers are in Tennessee against the Titans. Chargers are 2.5-point favorites, and I would take them if they were 5-point favorites. Titans were terrible last week. And Ryan Tannehill has not looked good now for over a year. And if Tannehill goes down, we're going to Malik Willis? Yeesh. And DeAndre Hopkins, 50-50 to play? Maybe? Oh, I am taking the Chargers all day in this game, even though it is in Tennessee. Bears in Tampa taking on the Bucs. Here's what we learned about the Bucs. Defense is still pretty good. We always knew they had weapons. They've got two of the best receivers in the league in Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Can Baker Mayfield be a good enough game manager to get the ball around with a good defense and not bleep this up? He was able to do that week one. I think he's going to be able to do it week two. Not yet sold on the Bears. I think Justin Fields, you know, he can be a game changer with his legs. I don't know that he can be a game changer with his arm. But Chase Claypool, who they gave up, you know, assets to get last year, he might not even play this week. He is so in the doghouse. They're talking about, oh, well, you know, he wasn't blocking well enough, so we might sit him and put in Equanimeous St. Brown because Equanimeous is a better blocker. Like, he's about to get Kevin Walter. They gave up assets for him last year, and now he might not even be on the field. Things are not going the way Chicago had wanted them to go. Take the Bucks, lay the 2.5. Chiefs are in Jacksonville taking on the Jags. Chiefs are laying 3.5. Travis Kelce is expected to play this week. The Chiefs historically are not great at covering spreads. I do not like the Chiefs laying 3.5 on the road. Look, getting Kelce back will be great. That does not change the fact that everybody else on that team couldn't catch a pass last week. That kind of scares the hell out of me. Now, maybe Kadarius Toney will be better, and maybe Sky Moore will be better. Maybe they won't be much better. And I don't know how many times Pat Mahomes has to see a pass go through a guy's hands. I'm going to take the Jags to cover in this game. Because you know what? The Jaguars have a really good offense, too. And yeah, Chris Jones might be back, but is Chris Jones going to be able to play 65 snaps? I don't think so. I'll be surprised if he plays 35 snaps. I think the Jaguars have enough offense that they can at least cover the 3.5 at home. Colts and Texans, talked about this one earlier. I have a lot of concerns about the Texans' offensive line. Now we have concerns about whether CJ Stroud will even play. Texans are favored by 1. Without Tunsil, they should be getting at least 3. Based on the Texans being favored by 1, I am going to take the Colts as much as I don't want to take the Colts. Didn't want to give this game away. Want the Texans to win. Have looked at this game since the schedule came out and said this game needs to be a win. The offensive line is just, it's a mash unit. And it's really hard to win. Rookie quarterback, no offensive line. In fact, I don't think anybody's ever done it before. So I'm going to take, unfortunately, I'm going to take the Colts. I really hope we get some better news on Tunsil and Stroud over the weekend. Maybe we'll find out they're both going to play. I will feel much better about the Texans winning. Because if Tunsil and Stroud are both healthy and going to play, I would have taken the Texans. I did take the Texans when we did our points the other day for the newsletter. Niners in L.A. taking on the Rams. Rams look better than you thought they would. Yeah, they're not in the same class as the Niners. Take the Niners, lay the 7. Giants are getting 4.5 on the road against the Cardinals. This should be the most pissed off Giants team you've ever seen in your life because, wow, were they embarrassed at home, prime time, national TV, in their own building against the division rival Cowboys. The Cardinals are very much tanking. Josh Dobbs had 132 yards passing last week. And, of course, they lost. I expect the Giants will come out and be a much better team. Jets in Dallas taking on the Cowboys. There is no Aaron Rodgers. There is Zach Wilson. Against that Cowboys front, at home, wild crowd, the Jets are going to get smashed. Biggest line of the week, it's Cowboys -8.5, and I'm taking it. Broncos at home against the Commies. They're laying 3.5. There's no way I trust the Broncos to outscore anybody by 4. I need to see Russell Wilson look like something of Seattle Russell Wilson for a couple of weeks before I trust them to win anything by 4. Take the Commies, get the points. Dolphins are in New England taking on the Patriots. Miami is laying 3. I don't see how the Patriots can keep up with the Dolphins. Oh, the Patriots' defense isn't bad. But Tua has shown, when he's healthy, he is an elite-level passer. And he has 2 elite-level wide receivers. I like the Dolphins to take the points. Monday night, Saints in Carolina taking on the Panthers. I like the Saints getting 3. No way am I ready to take on the Panthers, especially after Bryce Young, who among the 3 rookies, looked the worst. And the Brownies in Pittsburgh take on the Steelers, laying 2.5. Boy, the Steelers looked absolutely garbage last week, and they're going to face a very tough Browns front 7. I don't think the Browns are going to put up a ton of points, but I don't think the Steelers are going to put up much of anything. I'm going to take the Browns and lay the points. Coming up next, it's time for Money Plays. Our man Mackenzie Rivers from Betting Predators and Pregame.com joins us with some NFL best bets next.
ESPN 97.5. God listens to us too.
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talk.
Here comes the money.
It's time for Money Plays with Patrick Creighton.
Ow! Love that money.
Presented by BetUS, the original online sportsbook.
Now, get ready to take down the best money plays of the day.
All right, joining us right now on the HRMP guest line, time for some Money Plays. Our buddy Mackenzie Rivers, bettingpredators.com, pregame.com. Time to talk a little best bets in the NFL. What's up, Mac?
What's up, Patrick?
Man, good to hear.
How you living?
Dude, I'm living better than I was yesterday. I can sit upright. I can stand upright. I can actually eat whole foods. I feel much better today. Thank you very much.
These are all good things.
These are positives. These are definitely steps in the right direction, my friend. Let's get to some of these money plays. Look, week 1 was kind of a weird week for offenses. A lot of teams I think we thought were going to be much much bigger on the offensive side or perform better on the offensive side. Seemed to disappoint week one on the offense. Is that something that you think will correct? Will it correct in week two, or is that going to take a little longer to come around?
No, not week two. The only week that's lower scoring on average in the modern NFL era than week one out of the first 10 weeks of the season, the weather gets involved late, is week two. So why is that? Well, week one has been bad in the modern era since 2012 because with the new CBA, there's really no real work that you get in. No hitting. Offensive lines are not good, and we see that show up in week one. In week two, you have all that. That's still a factor. Teams are still getting into game shape. Defenses are ahead of offenses. And you have no more tricks up your sleeve. All your special plays that you're working in the summer, Mike McDaniel, you know, never seen this before type movement with Tyreek Hill. Well, now we've seen it before, and Belichick's seen it before, and they're going to adjust accordingly. So I know everyone likes to bet overs. Wait a week. Wait a week before you get crazy with the passing props and the overs. Week three is actually more overs than unders, so that'll be more fun.
Now, that is very interesting. Week three is where the offenses start to get on their games.
Yes, sir. Profitable, more than 52% in week three betting overs.
All right, so save the big overs for week three. We'll get into those next week. Well, let's see what can bettors take advantage of here in week two. You know, got an interesting game coming up on Sunday with the Bengals and the Ravens. You know, the Ravens scored 25 points on the Texans, but they had less than 280 yards of offense. The Bengals, Joe Burrow missed most of the preseason with the calf injury. He was not sharp. The offensive line looked like they'd never seen each other before. What are you looking at? Is there a value in this game? Because this, to me, is one of the bigger games of the weekend. It's a big division game in the AFC North, and that game's going to matter.
Yeah, it's going to be like a playoff game. And we've seen these teams recently, and Tyler Huntley was about a yard away from giving the Ravens a 7-point lead in the fourth quarter. And then they got a 98-yard fumble return, and neither team scored the rest of the game. That was a very, very challenged offensive game. It was the third time they've seen each other, and the Ravens, under new DC, a guy out of Michigan, have just gotten better and better against Burrow. Shout out to A.J. Hoffman. He had this stat, former Houstonite, I know. Three of the four worst QBR games for Joe Burrow were against the Ravens, and it just got worse and worse. Only 31 in the playoff game, and now we have – I mean, let me ask you, do you think he was hurt, or do you think the lack of preseason and rust was bad? Because they started out 0-2 last year. Which do you think contributed more to the Burrow's, you know, worst game of his career?
Well, you know, last year he had the appendectomy, so he missed all the preseason as well and kind of came back in. Definitely looked like he wasn't ready to play. This year he was hurt, didn't look like he was ready to play. I think the rust definitely plays a part in it, but I also think that the teams in your division do much more scouting on you. They see you more often, and that's a big part of it too.
Yeah, and the rest we see with Lamar Jackson and also a new system, and they both got paid over the summer. So maybe that's a third factor, but either way, neither of them look very sharp. Lamar Jackson, the 13 QBR. Yeah, I see this as a defensive game. I like the Bengals and Ravens to go under 46.5. I would say diversify. I think this is going to be probably a game where neither quarterback gets over 200 passing yards. So I would say maybe play both quarterbacks under their passing yards, but heated rivalry. I see this game being like a 2017 affair because it's not – I mean, let's just say they're average, right? They're average offenses. Well, in week one, the average offense, success rate-wise, how often are you better than average on your play? You keep ahead of the chains. Was 40%. That's as good as the Broncos and the Colts last year, 29th and 30th in the league. That's average what we're seeing right now in the NFL. You said week one was weird. Week one was bad, and week one was profitable if you saw that coming, which some of us in Vegas did. So I'm not saying Joe Burrow's going to be the 30th best quarterback like he was in week one, but if he's 16th, if he's still getting into game shape, I don't see him scoring more than 24 points.
Mac, let me ask you, the guy who threw for the most yards last week, Tua Tagovailoa, threw 466 yards. Now, that was against the Chargers. And as we all know, no matter how good the Chargers are, when it's a big game, they find a way to lose it. And that
you're right about that.
Never changes. The Dolphins, though, this time, they're going up to New England. And they're going to play on Sunday night. It's going to be a little colder than it normally is in Miami, and I'm like 65, 68, which isn't cold, but when you've been sitting in 90 degrees all the time, all of a sudden 65 kind of feels, oh, it's a little brisk. The Patriots, you know, are defense first team. Even though they, I wouldn't say they had a great defensive performance last week, but you know, look, they'll be a solid defensive team. They're gonna be well prepared. They're gonna have a good scheme. Tua's number is 265. After going for 466 last week, you think he's higher or lower than 265 this week?
This is one of my favorite picks of the week. I don't think there's an argument for the other side, but I understand where the number is, why the number is. I love the under 265. And quick correction, they're actually going to Miami and then flying up another trip to New England where the game will be played. And the Patriots, they're not a bad team. They're a bad offense, and it's really distinct. They really have been a championship-level team since 2000 on defense. I mean, there's less and less importance. Maybe 40% of the game is defense, but they've been pretty consistent. The last 10 times Miami's played New England, they've had more than 250 passing yards. Our number's 265. They've had it one time. Tua Tagovailoa, 4-0 straight up in ATS versus the Patriots. He's averaging about $180 a game against them. They don't want to expose themselves. The Patriots probably, with their offense, need a pick six to be in this game. I don't think the Dolphins give it to them. Tua was the number one quarterback by pregame's PFF QBR composite. Actually was tied with Matt Stafford, funnily enough. But he can be very efficient and throw 19 times, and the Dolphins get out of here alive. So Sunday Night Football has a heavy, heavy trend to the under. Historically, quarterbacks throw for more than 265 yards 30% of the time on Sunday or Monday Night Football versus 40% of the time in all other games. So it's a significant effect in general, and I think in this game, another division rivalry, Mike McDaniel, Yaley, shout out. He's going to have a few tricks up his sleeve. I don't think he's going to be chucking it all over the place.
He's Mackenzie Rivers, bettingpredators.com, pregame.com, with us here on Money Plays, giving you, you know, the best bets for the NFL for this weekend. One more for you, Mac. And the reason we're going to talk about this game is because this is one of the confounding games to me of the week. It's the Commanders and the Broncos, two teams that continue to underachieve, disappoint. The Commanders nearly blew a game to the Cardinals last week, who are basically waving the white flag before the season started. And the Broncos let another game get away where they just don't score any points. The offense looks messed up. I guess, you know, Russell Inc. is still busy out there kissing babies. But the Broncos are 3.5-point favorites in this game at home against the Commanders. Both of these offenses are ones that make you want to scratch your head and never want to have to watch. But in this type of game, is there a value in this game? Is this a game that bettors should be on, or should they let it go?
I like this game a lot. I like the Broncos. I don't mind laying 3.5. I personally bet it at -180 because it might be a lower scoring game, as you mentioned. But it was poetic justice or poetic irony that the final score was a 16-17 loss. You go from arguably the worst coach, I mean, Sean Payton would argue the worst coach ever, Nathaniel Hackett, losing 16-17 week one in Seattle, and now they lose 17-16 versus a much worse defense in the Raiders. However, let me talk about why I like the Broncos, because as funny as the scoreboard was, the actual underlying metrics and the gameplay was very different than the Broncos have been or were under Nathaniel Hackett. They were efficient with new offensive coordinator Joe Lombardi, who the Chargers fans hate because he was all dink and dunk. Well, he doubled down on that deck with Russell Wilson throwing for 34 times for about 5 yards a pop. But they moved the chains. Their EPA was good. The reason they only scored 16 points was because they only had 6 possessions in the game. So it's about 2.4 points per drive, which is good. It's better than league average. You should score 27, 30 points with that kind of numbers. But in a game where both teams took all the time they could with the ball, very long possessions, they only put up 16 in 6 possessions. However, the Commanders, you talk about playing the Cardinals, both teams were completely dreadful the entire game, giving the ball away. It was a very, I thought the Raiders and Broncos, both teams impressed me. Exact opposite situation with Arizona, who I think might be an 0-16 type team, 0-17 type team, and the Commanders. So I think this is a one-sided affair. The Broncos are good, maybe not great, but they're good. Lost a tight game against the Raiders, who I think are better than people expect. The Commanders are not good, maybe worse than we expected despite the win.
Here's Mackenzie Rivers, pregame.com, bettingpredators.com, with us on the HRMP guest line for Money Plays. Follow him on X, Twitter, at Macken Rivers, MackenRivers, Macken Rivers. Mac, always appreciate you, my man. Don't forget, follow him at, you know, go to pregame.com, go to bettingpredators.com, follow all of Mac's work there, and win money, because winning money is important, and he's basically telling you how to do it. Like, for free. Like, what are you doing? Go get
it. You understand the business, Patrick. I appreciate you, man. Awesome job.
Appreciate you, Mac. We'll talk next week.
Thank you, man.
All right, Mackenzie Rivers, bettingpredators.com, pregame.com, with us, and the money plays. Late hits. We got to talk about, because you know what? Mackenzie Rivers just gave you the best plays for the weekend. Now, how are you going to capitalize on the best plays for the weekend? You know what you're going to do? You're going to go to betus.com, and you're going to lay those picks, and you're going to get paid to watch football. Like I said, it's the second best way you could possibly make money, and all you got to do is go to betus.com. Look, it's their 30th year of being a sports betting service. They're the original online sports book. And for their 30th anniversary, they're giving you up to 30 risk-free bets. 30 bets. You win, you get paid. You lose, you keep your money. Nobody is doing this. It's called Bet Protect. And on top of that, they've got the biggest sign-up bonus in the business at 125%. And if you sign up with crypto, it's 200%. Free money to win. And we got Mackenzie Rivers giving you the picks for you to go win. All you got to do is go to betus.com or give them a call, 1-800-MY-BETUS, 1-800-MY-BETUS. Learn about all the bonuses, all the special offers, 1-800-MY-BETUS, betus.com, sportsbook and casino, where the game begins.
You found ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I can feel it.
I can feel it down in my plums. You're getting a nice bluish hue.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5, presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology,
and by BetUS, the original online sports book.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Now, those of you who were born, I don't know, before 1998, probably know this song really well. It is the Scorpion's signature song, Rock You Like a Hurricane. And I don't know anybody who is, you know, over 30 who doesn't know that song backwards and forwards unless they just hate rock. It is one of the top 100 classic rock, hard rock songs of all time. And when people who are around my age get it wrong, there's a little bit of that, you know, Scooby-Doo head tilt. And the best part is when a guy my age gets it wrong and his co-host blows right past it because he's got no freaking clue. And you will not be surprised when I tell you the dumbasses in this segment, of course, are Colin Cowherd and Jason McIntyre. Because if you could find two guys who could screw up making a tuna fish sandwich and both wind up in a burn unit with mayonnaise in their hair, these are the two guys who are going to do it. Listen to this exchange between Colin Cowherd and Jason McIntyre and tell me that these two either aren't the dumbest musical people in the world or deliberately trolling all of us.
Sure, I was more of an AC/DC, Guns N' Roses guy, but I knew of Metallica.
You were an AC/DC guy?
Oh, I loved them. Van Halen, AC/DC is all I listen to.
Van Halen is in a different category. But
no, AC/DC, Back in Black.
That was
Rock
your fire
you like
up
a
song?
Hurricane? Absolutely.
So do you listen to that driving into the herd on the Friday show?
You guys didn't listen to AC/DC. Who didn't listen to AC/DC? You were going to prep school. I was
prep
on the tough street.
Oh, absolutely
I
not.
I was out there over the hill.
My family's
with
from the Caribbean.
Kids.
Okay, they weren't into this.
You were a burb
AC/DC.
Kid.
Yeah, I was suburban. Suburban.
Not
soft.
Me. I was out there making things happen.
Clearly. But
so Colin Cowherd, I loved AC/DC, Back in Black, Rock You Like a Hurricane. Doesn't know that Rock You Like a Hurricane is not AC/DC.
Is Colin Cowherd trying to imply that he was on the streets slanging dope, talking about, like, I was in the streets making it happen?
Oh,
huh?
he was very much tongue-in-cheek on that part of it. I mean, I'm not going to say he was out there, like, literally trying to say he was, you know, out in, like, the mean streets of Greenwich or something like that, right? But he was definitely tongue-in-cheek in that part. But how do you say you're a huge AC/DC fan?
And mix that up. That's
and
crazy.
Say, oh, Rock You Like a Hurricane. If you think Rock You Like a Hurricane was an AC/DC song, you never listened to AC/DC. I'm sorry. You never listened. You are lying your ass off. And McIntyre, tower control requesting permission to fly by, zoom, right over his head. He had no idea.
That's not new news. I don't really think he knows much.
I mean, but does somebody have to put it on his computer screen for him to read it? Like what work? How do you miss that? McIntyre's not like 26. I mean, he's been around the block. You have to, like, again, I said, if we were talking about some obscure song or obscure band, this is one of the most popular hard rock, classic rock songs of all time. And you just said you're talking about how AC/DC, one of the greatest classic rock, hard rock bands of all time. They don't even sound alike. AC/DC is from Australia. Scorpions are from like Germany. They don't sound alike. Even the guitar riffs are totally different. Sound nothing alike. You know, one of the best things, there was a UK magazine that was doing an interview with Angus and Malcolm Young. And the guy's kind of being a turd. To Angus, says, you know, Angus, you know, you just released this. Now you have 10 albums that all sound exactly the same. And Angus is like, excuse me, I beg to differ. We have 11 albums that all sound exactly the same. Like, and you can kiss my ass, right? How do you get that wrong? And how does your kid brother on the show not know that you got that wrong? You just blazed right over that like it was no big deal. That is... Like, it's one thing, I mean, who's the bigger boob here? Is it Colin for not knowing that the Scorpions and AC/DC are not the same band? Or is it McIntyre for also not knowing that neither one of them is the same? Like, who's the bigger boob here?
I got to give my vote to Colin. Again, I don't expect much from Jason. I really don't. But for Colin to claim that, oh, yeah, listen to AC/DC on the way here in the mornings, and to make himself sound like such a big fan, and then you have that big of a mess up to clean it up.
Here he is, talking out
here
his big old keister.
Talking out, exactly. Colin gets my vote.
It's man. Is it like a mandatory thing on that show that Colin's got to say something straight out his ass at least once every segment? Is that part of the shtick of that show? Colin says something really stupid, and McIntyre acts like he has no idea that it was stupid. I don't know how people listen.
Does he not have producers that help him within his ear, be like, or correct him?
No,
not at all.
10 producers.
Like FS1, come on, man, help the brother
out.
Colin's
got more producers than we have employees. People writing all of his stuff, telling you. All right, check this out. A Ravens reporter not only decided that this was a really important question to ask Odell Beckham Jr., but it was so important they actually cut off all the other reporters so he could ask this extremely pressing and pertinent question.
One more, please. Odell, the last two times you've gone against the Bengals,
has resulted in injury. I don't know. Are you superstitious about things like that?
Nah, but, you know, I would. It's crazy you bring it up, but.
What the hell?
Odell.
Odell. Hey, look at me. I got a tummy ache. Hey, the last two times you played the Bengals, you got hurt. Are you worried you're going to get hurt again? If ever there was a time for Odell to just facepalm someone, just take your hand, put it in that person's face, and shove. This would have been an appropriate time. In fact, every other reporter there should have slapped this guy upside the back of the head like Gibbs to Tony in NCIS. Every time Tony says something dumb, Gibbs just bap up back of the head. Denozo, bang, right off the back of the head. They all should have taken turns slapping this idiot upside the head. That's the dumbest freaking thing.
Journalism at its finest.
Gotta try to get my clicks. It's like, dude, you suck at life. You should be fired. Then we have this winner. Former player versus the media. So somebody, the person who called up before and wouldn't talk because, you know, I guess they're drunk or they're scared or whatnot, texted into the show under the Jay Chevy burner account and said, would you trade for Manny Machado? You know, where's that actual text? Sorry, as soon as I go to do it, of course, the computer decides to do the whole reset thing. It said, talking about team chemistry and, you know, how the Padres have just flamed out. You know, would you trade for Manny Machado? Well, Kevin Acey, who covers the Padres for the San Diego Union-Tribune, got called out by former Padres first baseman Yonder Alonso. And he basically said AC was a bum. He said, Manny's a big boy. He can take it. This is me. Kevin AC is a bum. Because there was, he wrote a piece talking about Machado's role in the team's clubhouse and leadership and whatnot. And AC wrote an article where he says, to ask a Padres player why no one could confront Machado on these matters is to be looked at as if you have six heads. This is part of what is a leadership void and cultural issue in the Padres locker room. And that Machado is reported as having a bad attitude and being one of these guys who makes it difficult for the Padres to ascend. Well, why would Yonder Alonso, a former player for the Padres, come running to Manny Machado's defense? What if I told you Manny Machado married Yonder Alonso's sister? That his brother-in-law. And it's also why he going after the reporter. It's also why he's the only guy coming to that defense. Would I trade for Manny Machado? Hell no. And you know what? Even if he was a really good locker room guy, that contract, I don't want any part of that contract. Because Machado is one of those guys who has one good year, then he's a good year. You know, Manny Machado is one of those. Remember we were talking earlier about guys having, they have these amazing seasons and then they have lousy seasons. Like, why does this happen? How do you get through that? Let me give you a little look into Manny Machado's career here, okay? Manny Machado, at 20 years old, was an all-star, a gold glover, and a top 10 in the MVP. Hit .283, .746 OPS, played gold glove defense. Had 51 doubles. 2 years later, he had 35 homers, .861 OPS, was an all-star, gold glover. He went on a streak where for 4 years in a row, he hit at least 33 homers. And then he gets to San Diego. And although he did hit 32 homers, his OPS went from 905 to 796. And he led the league and grounded into double plays. And the batting average went from 297 to 256. The on-base went from 367 to 334. Now, the following year, which is the shortened COVID season, we had 304. He was third in the MVP at 950 OPS. And what's he doing this year? 773 OPS. How'd he go from 298 to 252? 366 on base, 315. 898 OPS, 773. Those gold gloves, what happened to those gold gloves? They long gone. They long gone. The grounded into double plays, they're certainly up. You got 17 of them bad boys. You know, Machado was second in MVP last year. 32 and 102 and, like I said, 298. Damn near 300 and 900 OPS. And this year, the OPS is 130 points lower. And the batting average is 50 points lower. And the on-base is 50 points lower. And the Padres are underperforming yet again. You know what? Manny Machado is only 30 years old. Underperforming. He's also got a zillion dollars and doesn't give a damn. Look, they knew this is who he was. We saw Manny Machado loafing in Baltimore. You saw Manny Machado loafing in his half season with the Dodgers. This is who he is. He does some dirty stuff. He's a loafer. He's a griper. And he hits and he doesn't. One year he hits 304. The next year he hits 252. Then he hits 297. Then he hits 259. It shouldn't really be any rhyme or reason to it. It just is. Here's something that has plenty of rhyme and reason. Phil Maton just gave up a homer. Why? Second half of the season. One more segment to go. We get into a little WTF next.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're your daddy.
Well, I feel like I'm your daddy.
You're not my daddy.
No,
daddy.
No, I'm your daddy.
You ain't my daddy, boy.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not our daddy.
I am your daddy.
Not a daddy.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5, presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology,
and by BetUS, the original online sportsbook.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Yeah, the AC/DC and the Scorps, they sound so much alike. Ready to go, Colin. Dumbass. Of course, I don't know that the batter's eye is the problem tonight as the Astros still have one run. Maybe it's not the batter's eye. Maybe it's not the problem. Maybe they're just inconsistent. As look, this is another god-awful team that the Astros' offense is just not showing up against. And well, you can't blame the batter's eye at Kauffman Stadium. Is the waterfall too much of a distraction? They got one run on six hits. They've drawn three walks. And they are 0 for 6 with runners in scoring position. Left seven on. And, of course, had a sweet grounded into double play. This is one of those nights where it's just like, Thank God I got a hot date tonight. There are margaritas in my future because I'm going to drink this one away. This is a night where the Astros make me want to drink heavily. And those margaritas are going to be my time. Oh, yeah, they're going to be my time. Let's get to some WTF. Andrew Luck is returning to football. No, he's not going to quarterback the Jets. He's coaching at Palo Alto High School while he's chasing a master's degree at Stanford. He is going to Stanford to get his master's in education. I hope that he's intending on being like a college professor, because God knows high school teachers don't get paid enough. But now 34, Andrew looks only 34 years old. But he will be coaching at Palo Alto High School while he chases his master's degree. That's his return to football.
How much money did he leave on the table in this current quarterback market?
Probably $200+ million. But he's tired of getting killed. Way to go, Chris Ballard. All right, this is one of my favorites. All right, we got two audio cuts here that are great. I want to get to. Number one is Kansas City no longer a blank space? Here is Jason Kelce addressing the room of his brother and Taylor Swift.
Hey, so you talk about family, and I have a 15-year-old daughter, and she's a big fan of a certain pop star, and you have a family member, a brother, I think.
Yeah.
And I've been hearing rumors that there's maybe some stuff. Can you comment on this?
I've seen these rumors. I cannot comment.
No, did them gossip.
TMZ, what are we doing? It's for my daughter, okay?
What are we doing?
Ever since catching Kelce, everybody has been infatuated with Travis's love life, so I don't really know what's going on there. So, yeah, I know Trav is having fun, and we'll see what happens with whoever he ends up.
I also work at a show called Extra. I can get you a daytime job there.
Tony's auditioning.
That was Tony Gonzalez posing the question on that post-game show. And I tell you what, I think if there is a line on will Taylor Swift's next album have some kind of football theme to whatever the big breakup song is, I'm taking that bet. I don't know what it is, but I'm taking that bet. Miles Sanders apparently thinks there are aliens among us who take over our bodies.
Think we're the only people in the universe?
Yeah, I think so.
For real?
Why would there be aliens?
You know how big the universe is, though, right?
I've been told it's enormous.
Yeah, none of us really know what it looked like. I mean,
why is every picture of the aliens look exactly like the picture of aliens from movies? Like, you ever notice, like, they always look exactly like the way you think aliens would look?
I actually think aliens come on this earth and then they take over somebody's body.
Which NFL player moves
an
alien?
Miles Garrett.
Miles Garrett, that's high praise. I had an old special teams coach that always said Barry Sanders was an alien.
Oh, yeah, the way he moved, maybe. Yeah, maybe. Because the way he made people miss is just ridiculous.
Yeah, but you think there's aliens?
Saquon, for sure.
Saquon's an alien.
Yeah.
If you had to put money on it.
Yeah, my teammate. And I didn't see some off-the-wall stuff, too, so it made me really question my human race. Like, can I really do that,
Like, did he, like, shift his ears or do something crazy?
Something. Then jump in the air and jump over two people at the same time. You know, stuff like that.
That is kind of alien-like.
Yeah.
But you think there really are aliens?
Yeah.
For sure.
Really? I think we would be pretty ignorant.
Why would they come to Earth?
I mean, Earth is awesome.
But how do they know that?
They're here. Trust me. They're here.
Do you think they're like, it's like E.T. phone home? You think like an alien got here and said, hey, this place is pretty dope.
Yeah,
Come pick me up.
Yeah, pull up. I think we still have like a lot of years away for them to finally, you know, we get into contact with them. But I think we would have to be ignorant to think we're the only people in this universe, you know?
Miles Sanders has definitely seen Men in Black way too many times, and he's probably going to get hit with a neuralizer because Miles Sanders out here telling the world that aliens come down, like, you know, how the alien put on the Edgar suit, and, you know, Elvis didn't die, he just went home. I think Miles Sanders is going to be getting a visit from the Men in Black, and they're going to say, hey, just look right here. It's coming. It's coming. It's going to do it for us. For this week, appreciate Mackenzie Rivers, bettingpredators.com, pregame.com. My man Jay Shev on the other side of the glass. Our Texas tweeters and Twitchers. We'll see you on Monday. Have a great weekend. H-Town!
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dude.
I'd be most worried about seeing my seminal vesicles.
Or like the Florida State seminal vesicles?